Are you tired of your content not getting the reach it deserves? Change that at Grow With Video Summit. From May 23rd through the 25th, join industry leaders like Gary Vee, Ollie Abdaal, Patrick Bet-David, Cody Sanchez, and more for strategies that will elevate your visibility and engagement. So go to summit.thinkmedia.com to secure your ticket. Just click the link in the description or go to summit.thinkmedia.com. How do I stay focused in today's world?
You look at procrastination, there's three types that we talk about. So you have to realize that until you accomplish your next most significant priority, everything else is a distraction.
How do we figure out that one big thing we should be focusing on?
The next level of results always requires the next level of thinking. There is a lie that you've been told your entire life. And you've been told this so many times, you believe it without challenging it. And the lie is...
So public enemy number one in today's world is distraction. There has never been a greater attack on our attention, on staying focused. There's so many different things to chase, and that can lead to procrastination. It can lead to paralysis. What do we do next? And so today on the Think Media podcast, we have an expert in psychology, in procrastination, and how to mentally tap into really a superpower of focusing so you can have more influence, create greater leadership, and ultimately reach more people with your YouTube channel, with your business. If you're just meeting Rory Vaden, he's the co-founder of Brand Builder Group, which is the world's leader in personal brand strategy. He is a New York Times best-selling author, and he frequently appears on top media platforms sharing insights so that we can actually cure laziness and procrastination and use mental tricks to get more done. Rory Vaden, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Sean, what's up, brother? So good to be here. I'm excited to have this conversation. We've never really had this conversation.
Yes, and I surveyed our Think Media podcast listeners, and I asked them, what is actually your biggest challenge right now? And some people were struggling with tactics, some with tech, some with motivation, some with self-doubt. But the biggest, 33% of our community, were struggling with getting distracted and actually getting their to-do list done. The problem was focus. How do I stay focused in today's world to move the needle in the things that matter? And so give us a high level. In 2024, what are some of the enemies that are coming at us as professionals when it comes to our attention being split, what's happening to our brains, the bombardment of media? Break it down for us.
Yeah, well, I'd say the first thing that everyone needs to know is this is one of the flagship things, mantras that we say around Brand Builders Group all the time is, if you have diluted focus, you will get diluted results, period. If you have diluted focus, you will get diluted results. And so you have to sort of realize that like this issue isn't just like, I kind of struggle with it. It's going, no, this is attacking your life. It's attacking your business. It's attacking your financial freedom. It's attacking your relationships. Ultimately, everything in your life is being attacked by the fact that you if you can't focus, you're not being your highest self. You're not getting your most done. And I'm a hardcore Bible thumping Jesus freak. We actually have said that a lot of times the devil doesn't win through destruction. He wins through distraction. If he can distract you from the thing that matters the most, if he can pull you away from, the things that you're called to do, that's a win. That's a win. He doesn't have to beat us. So distraction's a really big deal. And there's three different types, Sean. So there's three types that we talk about. So you look at procrastination. The first type is classic procrastination. So that's consciously delaying what I know I should be doing. So, I come home from work. I know I should pay the bills. I know I should do my taxes. I know I should exercise. I know I should whatever. And we consciously put that off. That is classic procrastination, which is what most of us think about when we think of the term. But that's actually not the most dangerous form because we're aware of it, right? We're making that choice consciously. The more dangerous one, both of the other two, but the second type is what we call creative avoidance. And creative avoidance is different and it's more dangerous because it is subconscious. And it's really, really tricky how creative avoidance works. It is subconsciously creating things for ourselves to do so that we can do those things as a means of feeling productive. But what we're really doing is it's a defense mechanism. It's masquerading as, you know, productivity to prevent us from doing the things we know we should be doing, but we don't really feel like doing. And so in a word, creative avoidance is distraction. There's usually somewhere underneath, there is some fear or some reluctance or some resistance to doing something that really needs to be done. And we're masking the not doing that in something that looks productive. And it's often things like it's things like email and things like scrolling on social and things like firing off messages or organizing your desk. Because like every single time, if you look at a brain under brain scan, every time we delete an item in our inbox, or if we cross something off our to-do list, dopamine is released. And so there's this neurochemical response going on here that we literally are addicted to completing the insignificant, the inconsequential, the trivial, because it makes us feel good. We get the feeling of productivity. And so we become addicted to achieving large volumes of trivial tasks rather than conquering and accomplishing like the short, really significant tasks, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So I am creatively avoiding the thing I need to do is shoot a YouTube video that will be substantial. And actually, we're doing a two-part series. In part two, you're talking about how we can get the best unique IP out of our minds and create original content, which would be like this deeper work that we know we need to do. And that's what our community said. Like, I know I need to do videos, but I can't focus. I'm distracted. I'm procrastinating. So instead, though, we pick out our phone and we say, well, hey, if I'm doing social media professionally, I need to research. So this isn't scrolling. This is research. Maybe it's even replying to comments. Well, that's community engagement. I saw a couple comments and I reply to them. Maybe talk in the DMs. You know what? Maybe even shoot an Instagram story, which could be powerful, but also it's ephemeral. It'll disappear in a day. And it's nothing like creating a high quality piece of intellectual property, YouTube video that ranks in search, that's connected to passive income, something substantial, but so many little things that are chipping away at us. And now we're diluting our focus. So there's classic, there's creative avoidance. What's the next one?
Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. So yeah, that's it. I mean, that's what it looks like for a content creator is exactly that kind of a thing. Hopping on a conference call, like scheduling things, whatever. So the third type of procrastination is what we call priority dilution. And priority dilution is distinct in that it affects the very people who you wouldn't think to be procrastinators. It affects the chronic overachievers, the do-gooders, the checklisters, the taskmasters. It's often the business owners, it's the executives. And what happens is these people traditionally are highly productive. They're very hard workers, but as their star rises, as their influence grows, more and more people are vying for their attention. More and more opportunities are showing up in their purview. They typically are managing larger and larger teams, bigger budgets, more tasks, more moving parts, more vendors, right? And so what happens is as their influence grows, so does the draw and the demand on their attention. And what the dangerous net impact here is to go, at the end of the day, this person ends their day with their most significant priorities left incomplete or left unchecked, not because they're lazy, like classic procrastination, not because they're distracted per se by creative avoidance, but because their life is characterized as a constant state of interruption, always falling victim to whoever is making the most noise, whatever is latest, whatever is loudest, whatever is most recent. If you think about the way that we structure our inbox, most people have their inbox organized in a way that the most recent message comes in at the top, and we tend to lend our attention to whatever is at the top. But very often, the most recent message is almost never the most significant message. It's almost never the most important thing. And in fact, pretty much nothing in your inbox is your most important priority, because your priorities aren't really in your inbox. An inbox is really just a cataloging system for organizing other people's priorities for you, the other things they're sort of putting on you. And you have to be really aware of that. And you know, like obviously to grow as a creator and a personal brand, right? We work with some of the biggest personal brands in the world today. This happens, right? It's like you end up acquiring a team and creating production processes, and you have to start planning your content in advance. And like you end up going, I used to be somebody with maybe a camera and an editing tool, and now all of a sudden there's like all of these different moving parts of the business, and it becomes real. And as you have to move into that mode of being a real business owner and being a real leader. And it's challenging because what got you here as a producer, like the thinking that got you here as a performer or as a producer, is not the same thinking that will get you there as a leader or an entrepreneur or, you know, somebody running an organization. There is growth that has to happen here in the mindset that the next level of results always requires the next level of thinking.
Rory, I have a confession, and that is you are reading my mail. My life is being destroyed by priority dilution. In fact, yesterday, my most important task was getting a deck of original content for a talk that I'm doing at an event called Social Media Marketing World.
I love Stelzner. Those are great people.
Yes, and I wanted to do, of course, my best work, and I also wanted to leverage this new content I'm creating beyond that event. So I wanted to invest a lot into it. But what I realized was yesterday, after the tyranny of the urgent bombarded me all day long, I didn't get to it until about 4:15. Our nanny leaves at 5.
Yep.
And I had the final 45 minutes of the day. I'm feeling a little bit under the weather right now. Got this sore throat. The day had already hammered me. And I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, this is actually my most important output of the day. And yet I am actually getting to it last, to your point.
Yep.
And of course, running a business, I could feel like I'm running with a chicken with his head cut off, you know, meetings, doing this, and a lot of good work got done. But I was flipped. I did not have that heavy lifting that I wanted at least my best energy on. So I had to summon my energy. I had to rush it to get it done by 5. And so I was falling victim to priority dilution. And I know listeners can relate to what you're talking about. I think this is something that hits all of us.
It totally does. It hits all of us. And I mean, you know, you have young kids like you do, and me, we got two little ones. Like being an entrepreneur, we got 40 people on our team, a couple toddlers, like it's the pain is real. And I think a big part of the mental shift that has to happen, there's two things, right? So we're dancing right here back and forth between actually my first two books, less of what we do today and more about like my first two books. So Take the Stairs is really the book that is the psychology of understanding procrastination. And then my second book, which is called Procrastinate on Purpose, 5 Permissions to Multiply Time, is really what are the tactics of creating more time and the five permissions you need to create more time. So as you know, part of this is a mindset, and then it becomes tactical, like what do you actually do? So one of the biggest ahas or epiphanies or light bulbs or insights or switches, you know, that needs to flip in an entrepreneur's brain, if they want to continue to grow, is you have to realize that until you accomplish your next most significant priority, everything else is a distraction.
Mm.
And so what has to happen is when you start your day, you have to sort of decide, okay, here is the thing that matters the most to me. And we'll talk about how to decide what that is. We have a tool called the Focus Funnel, which is what, you know, my TED talk that went viral was all based on that in the book and everything. But a part of it is a discipline and a decision to go, I have to raise certain things to a level of priority that is beyond the convenience of what my schedule allows for. In other words, if you think about this sort of visually, like you're the day you just described, which I've been there many times, I'm sure people listening all have, is we tend to kind of like leave the leftovers for the things that we want to do, and we're responsive. And sometimes we do it in the spirit of feeling like, oh, well, I'm at service to all these people. Look at all these things I'm helping. And then we leave like the last remains for ourselves. And what we have to do is sort of realize that we have to protect that thing, like whatever is the priority. We can't say, I will get to my priorities once I'm done doing everything else. We have to force, it's more like a wedge, right? Like you have to wedge your priority in, and you sort of build a barrier and you go, everything else is going to flow around this. And my priorities are going to be the disruptive part of my life. The things that matter to me are the things that I'm going to push forward. I'm going to force that to make sure that those happen, because until they happen, everything else is a distraction. They're attacking, you know, whatever my, and really even the word priorities is misleading. You know, there's no such thing as priorities. That word only even came into the English language in like the 1950s and 60s. Previous to that, there was only the word priority. I mean, by its very nature, you can't have multiple priorities. You can't have multiple things that are first. You can only have one thing that is first and then one thing that is next. And so you have to sort of arrange your life and your, you know, your calendar and the minute by minute to go, this is my priority at this moment, and this is my next important priority. And until I get to that, everything else is a distraction from that next priority.
Wow. Okay. So we're going to get into some tactics here, and I can't wait to talk about the focus funnel, but I do want to encourage listeners, you're not alone. I looked up some stats. 8 out of 10 employees report being distracted at work. So basically everybody. Yeah. And in the US,
the other two were too distracted to fill out the survey. The other two.
And on top of that, in the US, there's an estimated $650 billion lost to distractions annually. Wow. So for the entrepreneur, for the content creator, money is being left on the table, or it's slipping through the cracks because of distraction, or you getting monetized on your channel, you finishing that next IPA, income producing activity, money's being lost. And in any given workday, there's an average of 60 distractions. So you are being attacked by distraction. We need the focus funnel. And I would love to then just go into some tools and all of this stuff, because we're getting hit with this stuff, Rory. So give us some answers. How do we cure these three types of procrastination? How do we define our priority? And that was a bomb for me, because if I wrote down my priorities right now at Think Media, there's 36. And you just crush me. By definition, none of them are. And sometimes I know they might even say, maybe there's three, like max three. I understand that. But that's such a powerful insight. Prior to 80 years ago, priority is all it could be. And to define that, let's hit that focus funnel. How do we figure out that one big thing we should be focusing on?
Yeah. So, you know, in terms of deciding what that is, you have to decide that for yourself, right? So I can't tell you what's right and wrong for your life and, you know, what decisions that you should make. What I will tell you is how to multiply time. And what I can tell you is, after, you know, spending over a decade, you know, studying these ultra performers, we sold a company that did one-on-one coaching really around this sort of space of like personal productivity before we started Brand Builders Group, which is coaching more personal brands. We're still around very, very high performers. We discovered that there is a new type of thinker in the world that has emerged that is called a multiplier. And they think about time completely different from everybody else. So I can't so much tell you good, bad, right, and wrong for you and how to spend your time. But what multipliers figured out, there is a lie that you've been told your entire life. And you've been told this so many times, you believe it without challenging it. And 99.9% of the people in the world believe this lie. And the lie is, there's nothing you can do to create more time. And the reason that that seems to be true is because it is true. There's nothing that we can do inside of one day to create more time. All of us have the same 24 hours, which is 1,440 minutes or 86,400 seconds. I cannot teach you how to create more time inside of one day. But that's exactly the problem, is most of us operate in a one-day paradigm, something that we call the urgency paradigm, is we wake up and we ask ourselves, what's the most important thing I have to do today? And what typically that type of thinking yields is a list of 36 things, right? Of going, all of these things are super important. When we studied and we profiled and we coached and we researched and then you know wrote about these multipliers, we realized that's not actually the question they ask themselves. The question they ask is not, what's the most important thing I can do today? The question they ask is, what can I do today that creates more time tomorrow? This is what we call the significance paradigm. And it is a simple but radical shift in thinking, and ultimately over the span of your life will create exponential results if you apply it.
This episode is brought to you by StreamYard. StreamYard is our go-to platform here at Think Media for live streaming to Facebook and YouTube and for recording our video podcast. It has an incredibly easy to use interface for built-in branding, transitions, text lower thirds, and seamlessly bringing on guests. And they just added an awesome new feature called local recording. This allows you to take the quality to another level by separating out your audio and video from your guests, giving you more control over your content for later use. This feature is perfect for video and podcast creators. And so to get a special deal on StreamYard right now and to see all the features that are included, just go to streamwiththink.com. That is streamwiththink.com.
So you say, well, Rory, how is it possible to multiply time? I can teach you in one sentence. You multiply time by giving yourself the emotional permission to spend time on things today that create more time tomorrow. So while there's nothing I can do inside of one day to create more time today, there are lots of things. We bucket them into the five categories, which each are the five permissions. There are things you can do, lots of things that you can do today that if you do them today, technically they will cost you time today. But by doing them today, they create time tomorrow. And not only tomorrow, but perpetually and indefinitely into the future. I'll give you a really practical, ubiquitous, universal, kind of a silly example, but it'll demonstrate the point here. So let's say you have a million things to do today. Your inbox is blowing up. People are blowing you up on text. People are knocking on your door trying to have meetings. One meeting went long. You got 87 windows open on your computer. You got like 4 half-written emails that must go out, right? And you've got all of these things that are just like totally competing for your attention. Well, if I came to you in the midst of all that and I said, well, the most significant thing you could do right now is set up online bill pay. Most people would look at me like I was insane. They'd be like, set up online bill pay. Like that would be like number 713 on my list of priorities. And that's because they evaluate significance different from how the multipliers do, because the multipliers are measuring significance based on how much time it creates for them in the future. Because if you took 2 hours to set up online bill pay today, then what happens is if that saves you 30 minutes a month, every month from paying your bills, then after 4 months' time, you will have broken even on that investment of time, 30, 30, 30, 30. That's 120 minutes or 2 hours. So after 4 months, you've now broken even on that investment of time. Every month thereafter, for the rest of your life, you are now creating 30 minutes that you would not have otherwise had, because you have set up online bill pay. That's what we call the significance calculation. Significance isn't just a measure of like magnitude of how valuable is it in terms of money, or what's the magnitude in terms of the number of people that it impacts. Significance is a measure of the magnitude of time that will be created from this activity in the future. What most entrepreneurs do is they spend time doing things that they think only they can do. And so they create a prison for themselves to always have to be the person doing those things. It's a prison they can never break free of because they're trapping themselves into being the one that has to do the same thing over and over and over again because they think that nobody else can do it. So that's how the significance calculation works, is it's breaking free of the paradigm of what matters today, and it's introducing the idea of what matters tomorrow. So this all circles back to the question of, what should I prioritize? Well, ultimately, you've got to make that decision. But the hidden calculation that nobody is making, the mistake that people are not even calculating, is that they are underestimating the value of the significance calculation in assessing which tasks should be done right now. They look at money, they look at, you know, maybe people, but they don't look at what is the impact of this activity or this task that I'm looking at right now on tomorrow and the next day and the next day. Well, if you make those decisions repeatedly to spend time on things today that create more time tomorrow, it actually costs you time in the short term. It's like investing money, right? It's like I have to forego a family vacation or buying a car or a new TV in order to have the money to invest. But as I do that, at first, I feel like I'm scrambling, like I have less money than I had before. But then because of compounding interest over the course of time, I end up having so much money that I'm like, well, this is amazing. Now, all of a sudden, I'm financially free. And by the way, this is one of the five permissions, which is automate. And automate, you know, we say the big key here is to realize that automation is to your time exactly what compounding interest is to your money. Automation is to your time what compounding interest is to your money.
So you are dropping absolute bombs. This is so good. And this gets me excited for our particular community. I kind of want to rename us because I feel like we are time multipliers. We're these new time of thinkers. So we're being bombarded with distractions. We need to make a choice to procrastinate on purpose and to identify what is the actual priority and ignore everything else until we actually can do that priority based on a significance calculation. Mm-hmm. And I think about this idea of leverage. It's a lot of what this is, right? We're creating leverage. And our actual academy called Video Ranking Academy is, when I had that light bulb moment, I said, okay, wait a minute. YouTube's even different than all the other social media platforms. Because if I can create a YouTube video right that ranks in search, I can make a video today that gets views for weeks, months, and even years to come. Bingo. I now have decade-old videos that still get views and earn money from YouTube ad revenue and generating leads or affiliate links. And I've done that thousands of times. So I've created crazy snowballs of passive income because of leveraging. And it was a significance calculation. I said, all the things I can invest my time in. And before I invest in Facebook or a dance on TikTok or do that, I don't dance on TikTok, but whatever. You know, I thought, okay, YouTube is the home base. It's also similar, right, for the entrepreneur. You wrote these powerful books, Take the Stairs, Procrastinate on Purpose. You wrote them once. They were very hard to write. They took a ton of time. It would have been much easier to scroll on social media or to do seemingly productive things in creative avoidance. But by being disciplined to actually get the book done, you can now impact and change lives and generate revenue for years to come with these assets that you've created, which writing a book, doing deep work like that would be a significance calculation. You created something, you made it once, you could sell it over and over again, which is tapping into automation. Am I following you right with some of the thinking here?
Yeah, you're nailing it. And it's funny because I was late to the game with social media in general. And that's because I couldn't, when I looked at social media, I always saw it as a time suck. I would create something and it would disappear, right? I would create it once and every day that went by, it would go down and down and down in value. And so I was earlier to podcasting because I saw that as a little bit of a long-term asset, but then we sold the company, I lost the podcast. The thing that I was so late to realize was the power of YouTube, because YouTube, every video that you create is like a little soldier in your army. Right? You create that video and every day it's like a new soldier that's out there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, never calling in sick, never getting tired, never taking another job, never getting pregnant, never saying the wrong thing, like taking maternity leave, like never getting any of those things. It's like this soldier that you create. And every time you build one, it's like, well, it cost me a lot of time to create that video today. But now I added a soldier to my army. And that's what's amazing about the YouTube platform more than any of them, right? It's like, it's more like it gets better over time. And the same is true with the book, right? You use that example. I know in our other episode, we're going to talk about, we have a framework for helping people create unique intellectual property. That's part of what we do at Brand Builders Group, to go, yeah, it's a massive amount of work, but then it comes back to you forever over time. Just like and investing is that way too. Every time you spend a dollar, that's like killing a soldier in your army. Every time you invest a dollar, that's like adding a soldier to the army. And then the army starts to spawn because of compounding interest. Well, because of the YouTube algorithm, it's the same way. It starts to spawn. It starts to grow. The way that the books work is, you know, people pass books around all the time. And still to this day, you know, my TED Talk was that way, right? I still, yeah, you know, I think I've got like 5 million views. I did the TED Talk. I mean, it's coming up on 10 years ago. It's still the number one lead generating thing I have for paid keynotes, is this talk that I did in front of 60 people at this, like, you know, very small sort of rickety, like first ever TED Talk place with a very crappy camera and the whole thing. But there are things like that, and content on some platforms, content is that way. It is a soldier that multiplies, and YouTube is it. Like, YouTube is perhaps of all of them the best at that thing. But you know, there's so much draw to like the, you know, going viral on Instagram or TikTok or something like that. But it's like, it's kind of like how you drive for show and you putt for dough. I mean, social media is for show, but like YouTube and email list is where all the dough is where all the dough happens.
Yeah, it's so good. Well, a couple things as we land a plane on this episode, and I want to kind of give a few action items. So I want to hit, I know we can't go deep in them, but I do want to hear the five permission. And we covered one. So let's hit, and the focus funnel. So we'll hit a couple things. But I want to give a few shout outs. One, in the show notes, there's a couple to-dos. Check out the past episodes with Rory. So just FYI, one is on even naming your book, naming your channel. That's one of the legendary episodes in our library. So we'll link those up. Make sure you're subscribed as well, because in part two, we're going to be going deep in personal branding and content frameworks. We really wanted to cover and kill this this enemy of procrastination, of laziness, in this episode. So we'll hit the focus funnel in just a second. Rory, if they read only one book between Take the Stairs or Procrastinate on Purpose, though, which one would you recommend for really moving the needle if they wanted to pick one up?
So great question. So if you need a motivational kick in the pants, I would read Take the Stairs. If you need more of like a tactical system to deploy that will transform your operations and your infrastructure, both personally and professionally, so that you will have more time, I would read Procrastinate on Purpose, Five Permissions to Multiply Your Time. So, and I can give you the overview super quick of like the focus funnel.
Yes,
so
let's get that in just a second. So then check out show notes on those, because you can grab either audiobook or the book. Pick whichever one up you need. Rory's an absolute legend and New York Times bestselling author. These are great books that have changed a lot of lives, including my life. And then also, one of the things we've collaborated with Rory on over the years is freebrandcall.com/think. We'll be talking about this more in the next episode. But if you want to connect with his team and actually jump on a call, 74% of people say they're more likely to trust somebody with an established personal brand, but only 3% of speakers, authors and influencers are making enough money to do it full time. So they have a whole system, a whole process, and there's a chance to work with them. But if that doesn't work, jump on the call, you know, whether that's right for you or not, because these are world-class people. Rory's been a friend for years. And so there's a lot of juicy next steps you could take in the description. And I want to encourage you, my heart as you know, kind of the leader here at the Think Media Podcast, is focus is power. So don't do all of the things, but what is the next best thing for you? Definitely take advantage of some of those resources. And as we land the plane on today's episode, I do want to hit, let's hit the focus funnel. And then what's the overview of these permissions?
Yeah. So the focus funnel is simple, and they each have a corresponding permission, right? So it starts with eliminate. So if you view a funnel and you have all the tasks coming into the top and you go, what is the sequence of the thinking of the multipliers? So it's eliminate, automate, delegate, concentrate, and procrastinate. So first they say, can this be eliminated? That's what we call the permission to ignore. It's all around like guilt and managing that emotion. If it can't be eliminated, then the task drops down to the middle of the funnel. And the question is, well, can it be automated? That's the permission to invest, right? The permission to invest the time and the money to set up the process so that tomorrow the process is doing the thing instead of you doing the thing. If it can't be eliminated or automated, it drops down to the bottom of the focus funnel, which is delegate. We know it must be done. So now the question is, must it be done by you or can it be done by somebody else? That permission is what we call the permission of imperfect. You have to grant yourself the permission of short-term imperfection in order to allow someone else to do it and stumble through it so that it won't be as good as you in the first few times, but then they will master it over the course of time, just like you were. And eventually the payoff is that it gets to be off your plate. If you can't eliminate it, automate, or delegate it, then you have to say, should I procrastinate it? Should I procrastinate on purpose? Meaning, I know this task must be done, but does it need to really be done right now? Of all the things that must be done and must be done by me, is this really the thing that must be done right now? If not, it's going to be strategic procrastination. We're going to strategically delay it. We're going to procrastinate it on purpose as a way of creating margin to reinvest into the fifth category, which is concentrate. Eliminate, automate, delegate, procrastinate, or concentrate. And so we go, now by eliminating, automating, delegating, and procrastinating, I have created space for me to concentrate. Concentrate on what? Concentrate on the things that are most significant, meaning concentrate on the things you can do today that will create more time tomorrow. And as you do that, you will multiply your productivity, you will multiply your income, you will multiply your influence. And it's all because the next level of results requires the next level of thinking.
That was deep. And eliminate, automate, delegate, procrastinate, concentrate. That's the funnel too. You got to re-listen to that part too, because that was a mini masterclass. And then that's inside of Procrastinate on Purpose, the book, correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And there's the TED Talk is free. Like, you know, you can watch the 18-minute version of that for free.
Perfect. Another resource. This is a juicy show notes today. Lots of good stuff in there. So definitely check out that TED Talk as well. A couple things as we land the plane. And one thing that inspired that, you know, I'm obsessed with protecting my time and guarding my time. I have to your point, I got a team and toddlers. That's the combination where if you got a team and toddlers, you really got to manage your time. But even just like practical hacks, I want to hear, what are some of your practical hacks that you love to share time? For me, you know, this discovery of Instacart or even Amazon Prime and Whole Foods, I know it's kind of bougie and it's kind of expensive, but I realized for us, actually, it's like a 30-40 minute drive to get to a Whole Foods. And there's some niche health food that I like to get. And once I realized, man, they can ship this to my house, counting gas is actually, when you really factor it out, I don't know, some people driving Teslas, but ultimately I'm like, man, this is saving me insane amounts of time. I also was getting my hair cut, and even though she's amazing and kind of the same area, I would stack those two things, but it was such a long drive. I was like, man, I got to find someone closer. And I start to realize, if I look at my calendar ahead of time and put a little bit of thought into it, I just regained maybe an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours. I just can save time by, and those are some modern tools. And I even forget, because I am so used to going to the grocery store, my wife would, and maybe somebody else, but like these practical things are really helping me buy back my time. And sometimes, even if I could save a little bit of money, I go, wait a minute though, what's my time worth?
There it is.
And even if I lose a little bit of money in the short term, due to the significance calculation, if I'm creating leverage with activities today, that's what I need. Because let me rank a video. Yep. I'm negative money today. To your point of investing, I lost, you know, maybe I felt like I lost a soldier, but really I invested a soldier. I'm actually going to gain back that compound. What are some just tactics, Rory, in your life that you use to just save you minutes or hours here and there?
I mean, you nailed it. A lot of this sounds bougie to people because it's like, oh, well, you're just spending, but it's like, it's not about being bougie. It's about valuing your time to the extent that you're willing to hire other people to save you time. I mean, this is one of the biggest differences between rich people and everybody else, right? And I grew up very poor, single mom, trailer park. And, you know, what most people do, and this isn't wrong or bad, it's just not what rich people do. What most people do is they choose to spend their time in order to save money, right? I'll drive to the grocery store. I'll park 18 blocks away from the stadium. I will drive across town to save 10 cents on a gallon of gas. They choose to spend time to save money. That's not what rich people do. You will not find the ultra rich people do that. Ultra rich people do the opposite. They choose to spend money to save time, because they know that they can reinvest their time quickly into things that multiply. So my biggest hacks are many of the things that you said. I mean, I literally have a section on my phone. I was just pulling it up here that is like everything I automate. So 1Pass, Amazon Prime, of course, ChatGPT, Postmates, DoorDash, but care.com is huge. I'm a huge care.com fan. That's for childcare, pet care, elderly care, Upwork, Fiverr, TopTool, TaskRabbit, Thumbtack, Instacart, you know, Uber Eats, like Printage, any of these apps where it is, you know, delegate. It's basically the delegate principle. I'm hiring people at their rate of pay. Because the other big mental mistake that people make is they go, well, Rory, that's great for you. I can't afford it. No. You already are affording it, because you're either paying someone else at their rate of pay or you're paying yourself at yours. But you are already paying someone to do it. And if you don't have an assistant, then you are an assistant. And that piece of your time is you're paying yourself at that assistant pay rate instead of buying that time from someone else and arbitraging your time towards something different. But, you know, we're at the point, Sean, where we have gone to the extreme, right? And we go, we have a family manager who's here, even if the kids are at school, to, you know, take the car for the oil change, fill up on gas, run to the grocery store, like meet the cable man, deal with the pool guy. And then, you know, we have someone that comes twice a week, once on Sunday nights, to just prep meals for the week and do laundry. And one that comes on Thursday nights. A house cleaner is another one. Guys, change your marriage. Like, hire a house cleaner. Could be the first money you spend should be in your personal life. Getting the housekeeper, getting the landscaper. Now, I mean, if you love your riding mower and you want to be out there for 3 hours, fine, do your thing. But like, other than the things you enjoy doing, it's all of that. Plus, you're creating jobs for people, and you're just driving the economy, and you're multiplying. So those are the tools.
And let me just encourage you. I know the objection could be, oh, Rory must be nice, but that's, you had to go brick by brick, step by step. And it started with changing your thinking. It started with becoming a different type of thinker, which was a time multiplier. And look at the tools we have in today's world, the internet, email, CRMs, YouTube. There's so many ways of leverage. So definitely subscribe, like, and share this episode. And if you're on audio, I would love it if you came over to the video version to share any ahas. And what's your biggest takeaway? Because there's a lot of nuggets. We're action takers here at the Think Media Podcast. So we'd love your feedback on this episode. I know there's someone in your life that needs this one. So definitely share this out. But definitely make sure you're subscribed, because in part two, we're going to be talking all about personal branding. We're going to be talking all about Rory's framework for how do you create your unique IP, intellectual property, and original content in a sea of sameness, where it seems like everyone is an echo online and there's very few voices. Mm-hmm. You're going to need this information to really cut through the noise. And when it may feel like there's too much competition, or how do I actually bring innovation to this? This episode is going to reveal that for you. And so definitely subscribe. We can't wait to connect with you in the next episode. And my name is Sean Cannell, your guide to building a profitable YouTube channel. We'll talk soon.